Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Thank you, John. Glory to God. Oh, are we a happy bunch? Are we a blessed bunch? I tell my folks we're so blessed. The blessed people call us blessed. Is that you?
Amen.
We are. We have so much to be thankful for. And if you were here last night, we got into talking about how that we're living in the dream. What was a vision just not long back, I mean this new church facility. And not just the facility, but what it facilitates. Right? I mean, you couldn't have certain kinds of meetings and certain size of things and in the comfort and in the environment without this. And it all goes together. And a few years ago, it was a vision. It was something in the hearts of the pastors and leadership and then you. But now, you're a sitting in it.
Amen.
Come on, you need to wiggle around a little bit. Go, I'm sitting in it. I'm in it. The vision has come to pass. Our faith has become sight. Hallelujah. Come on, do you feel the chair? Is it there? Is it there? Is it real? Glory to God. And there are so many things that are just like that, that God has prepared for us and that we have and are entering into. And I believe we're to have our eyes and our spirit opened up to much more of it in this time, including tonight. Are you ready?
Yes.
Go with me, please, to Scripture that we've looked at already in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and then also in Psalms 118. 2 Corinthians 6, Psalm 118. It blesses me so much, makes me feel so good to see you raise your hand that you've downloaded things and that that means I'm in your business. I'm in your life. I was checking in actually over in Milwaukee in a hotel. It's been a while back. And I was at the desk there. And there was a lady beside me, and she was checking in also. And she looked up and she said, "Brother Keith! Brother Keith!" I said, "I got you in my purse right here." Isn't that wonderful that we, you know, I know this technology, the internet, and the digital revolution is being used for a lot of bad stuff. But how many believe that God gave the knowledge and understanding of it just for these kind of things, for His things, for the kingdom of God, for the proclaiming of the gospel and teaching of the word of God, and to send it around the world. The time is short, and no generation before us has had the tools we have. And so it lets you know there's indications this thing's winding up, right? And so how many think we ought to make hay while the sun shines? We are to do everything we can with everything we can while we can, because this is a very limited time situation. So I rejoice that I am involved in your life in some way. We brought materials again, and if you haven't received any of these, there are actually some hard copies of some things in the back, and you can receive them after the service, no charge. Just limit it to like one per family so they'll go further. If you want more, go online. And that's the quickest, easiest way to get it. And if you need something in a hard copy form, contact the ministry. And we have also a new workbook on healing called God's Will to Heal. And if you know somebody that's believing for a healing, help get that in their hands. And you can download it off the internet. You can also get a hard copy if you contact the ministry. And believe with me that a lot of people is going to receive their healing.
Amen.
Through this tool. And the Word of God, the Scripture said He sent His Word and did what?
Healed
them. and delivered them from their destructions. 2 Corinthians 6, are you there? 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. He talks about the grace of God. And then he talks about a time. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 1 says, "We then as workers together with him beseech you." Beseech is a strong word. You could use the word plead. We plead with you to do what? That you receive not, we might say today, that you don't receive the grace of God in vain. So then obviously it's possible to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, what is the grace of God? There's been a lot said about it, but grace is one of those big, big words in the New Testament. You can't define it with just one or two phrases. If people say, well, what's grace? It's unmerited favor. Okay, but that's the tip of the iceberg. That does not tell you what grace is. I like to say it like this. If you look up the words, grace basically has to do with gift. That which is a gift, that which is given. What is grace? Grace is everything God's given us. That's how big it is. Anything He's given you is grace, and by grace. Everything He's given us is His grace. But here is something we need to be aware of. Just because God has given it to us doesn't mean we automatically benefit from it. It means it's available to us, but then it's going to take faith to possess it, to receive it, to walk in it. Do you believe this, saints? And because of that, he's pleading with them that they not let the grace that's been given them be in vain. And the very next thing he says, for, so this goes with what he just said, for he says, I have heard you in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. That means I've helped you. And then he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's put these two together. When is the time to receive this grace? When is the time to experience saving grace in every area of your life? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. When is the best time to get saved? It's actually the only time you can get saved. You can't get saved yesterday, and you can't get saved tomorrow. Somebody said, why couldn't you get saved tomorrow? Well, when tomorrow gets here, what will it be? It'll be now. And so then you will be getting saved. You'll be receiving it now. You can't do anything yesterday, and you can't do anything tomorrow. You can't live in either one of those places. Do you know anybody who's trying to? People try to live in yesterday. Have you seen anybody? You know anybody trying to live in the past? Always talking about the good old days. Did you know Ecclesiastes tells us that we are not supposed to say, what is the reason that the former days are better than these? We're told not to say it because it's not wise. It's a foolish thing to say. But if the Bible says don't say it, what should we do? Don't say it. Quit talking about the good old days. Looking back longingly. Man, I wish I was back there. I wish I was back there. See, that's what Israel did when they got delivered out of Egyptian bondage. Didn't they? They kept on looking back. I mean, their forefathers and themselves have been slaves. They've been the property of other people all their lives. They've been abused and mistreated. Now they're free. And they're healed. And they got money in their pockets. And they got a promised land to go to. Should they be shouting? Should they be rejoicing? And you know what they did? They looked back and said, oh, there's watermelons in Egypt. There's cucumbers and garlics and onions. And one translation says, free fish. There's free fish. Now, This is what I call selective memory. And also modified memory. Because they did not have a rosy life in Egypt. Did they? They were abused. They were beaten. They were mistreated. They didn't own the rags on their back. But were they trying to go back? Did they continuously try to go back? And did they try to live back in that? Did they ever get to go back? Was it possible for them to go back and live? No. They died in the wilderness. They never made it back. Let me ask you a question. Do you suppose there were any good watermelons over in Canaan's land? Huh? Any garlics? Any onions? Any cucumbers? Well, we know there were. The grapes, they'd never seen grapes like that. So the watermelons would have been better too. Is that right? And they could have had everything they desired if they had moved forward and received the grace God was giving them right now instead of trying to go back into the past. And then you got folks trying to live in the future. You know, disdaining and despising everything that's going on right now. Everything that's happening, oh, okay, whatever. But one of these days, it's going to be great. One of these days, it's going to be amazing. And something begin to happen and folks, well, yeah, okay. But there's something coming. And there's always something coming, and it's never now. It's always in the future. It's a trick. I said it's a trick. For time's sake, you know, the verse in Psalm that you're holding, it finishes with, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And like we talked last night, that is the indicator that you are operating in the grace that He's given and that you are believing it because you are rejoicing. Amen. Anybody remember that from last night? Let me see. Are you awake? You here? And so you might as well get primed up for some more rejoicing. You know that, right? You know that's coming, right? So you might as well. But go with me, please, to Luke, the 4th chapter. Trying to live in the past and trying to live in the future. You cannot do it. It's impossible. You can't live in the past and you can't live in the future. You can only live now, here. But what you can do is ruin now and miss out on now by trying to live in the past. You can miss what's happening now. And the grace that is given, you can completely miss the opportunity. Now, in Luke, the 4th chapter, Jesus has been baptized in the river and the Holy Spirit's come on Him. And then He's tempted in the wilderness. And then He came out after this temptation in the power of the Spirit. Notice what else happened then. In Luke 4, and about verse, let's see. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He opened the book, He found the place where it was written. And He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me." Now, where's He reading from? Book of Isaiah. This has been around for some time, right? And these people had heard the book of Isaiah is very popular to be read in the synagogues in those days. And He's read, so they've heard this before. And He said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon Me because He's anointed Me. Because He's anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to do what? To preach what? the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, according to 2 Corinthians 6, when is the accepted time? You sure about that? See, that's a big part of the gospel. What's part of the gospel, the good news, is that it's here now. That's good news. It's available now. That's good news. Wait. Maybe sometime. That's not so good news. You already missed it. It's past. That's bad news. But it's here. Now. Available now. Now's the accepted time to get it. Now's the day to be saved. Now when we say saved, don't limit that in your thinking to born again. Because the word saved includes anything you could be saved from. When you said, I'm saved, you said a lot. Why don't you go ahead and say it? Say it with a little more emphasis there. I'm saved! Saved from what? Saved from sin, saved from hell, saved from death, saved from sickness, saved from oppression, saved from habits, saved from sin. Come on, are you listening? Saved from confusion. Come on, say it again. I'm saved! I'm saved! I'm saved! If you really believe that, how could you tell? It'd make you happy. You'd be glad about it. Now notice, Jesus is preaching this. And he read this and he finishes up with, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it to the minister and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say to them, what did he say? What did he say? He said, this day. When is this day? Like I said, we looked up this word now. And the literal definition is the immediate present. Anybody know what now is? Now's the only time we can live in. You can't live in yesterday. You can't live in tomorrow. What's happening right now? This is the only opportunity we have to live, to do, to receive, to overcome. Anything you've ever did, you did it now. Is everybody with me? You never did anything yesterday. Because when it was yesterday, you were doing it now. You'll never do anything tomorrow, because when it gets here and you do it, it'll be now. The only time you've ever done anything was now. The only time you'll ever do anything is now. But that's good news, because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The day to be saved. Tell me, when is the best time to be saved? Come on. Now, right now. So Jesus preaches this, and then he says, he read it. They've heard it before. He closes the book. He hands it to them. He sits down, and he says, today, this verse is happening now. Right here. Right now. And there was shouting in the streets. That place went off. They said, whoa! Now! Now! Thing that everybody's been waiting on. It's happening now. No, no. What'd they do? Come on, are y'all reading? Let me read this to you from some other translations. The Amplified says, today this scripture has been fulfilled while you are present and hearing. The complete Jewish says, today, as you heard it read, this passage was fulfilled. The easy to read says, while you heard me reading this words just now. It's coming true. It's coming to pass. Now, I want you to see their response to this, because Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. If he was saying that then, what do you think he's saying now? What do you think? Is he telling us it's already happened? Too late, you missed it. Is he telling us maybe someday you can be saved? Now, I know that some things have a progression in the plan of God. I'm not talking about all of that. I'm talking about being saved. And when I say being saved, you know I'm talking about the whole gamut of being saved. When's the time to receive being saved from things that are destroying? Now, you never, I mean, all you got to do is think about somebody that's lost, that hasn't received Jesus. And if you're talking to them and they tell you, well, maybe someday I'll come to church and give my life to the Lord. Maybe someday, you know, I just don't know that it's time right now. What could you tell them? Well, we don't know. The ways of God are mysterious. And in some way or another, in God's plan and sovereignty, it may not be God's time right now for them to come to the Lord. No! That's a bunch of junk. The time is right now. If they're believing, maybe they should wait. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. Maybe when they get through with this. Maybe after that. How many know that's dangerous? That's dangerous. What if the devil takes them out while they're waiting on some perfect time in their mind? No, the time is now. Now. Receive Him now. Get born again now. Get filled with the Spirit now. Get set free now. Get healed now. Get blessed now. 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 Anybody that thinks they're waiting on Him are deceived. Because He already told us the time is. The accepted time to get it is now. The day to be saved and receive all this salvation is now. And so Jesus reads this and He tells them, it's happening right here, right now. This day, this Scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And verse 22, they all bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, isn't this Joseph's boy? Is there excitement in the room? Is there rejoicing in the room? Tell me from last night, why aren't they rejoicing? They don't believe this. If you can't be persuaded to rejoice, you can't be persuaded to believe. They don't believe this. So instead of rejoicing, should they have been glad? Come on, think about it. The Word of God made flesh is looking them in the eye. He's standing right there in their midst. Love made manifest. The one by whom everything that's made and has been made, was made, is looking at them manifest in the flesh. Should this have been a happy day? Should they have been shouting the roof off this place? Should they have been? And then He comes and tells them, this is it. This is it. It's now. It's Me. We're here. Now, and not only that, how much of this was for their benefit? The Spirit of the Lord is on Me for what? So you can be healed. So your eyes can be opened. So you can be set free. Right? When's all this available? He said. And then He closed the book. He said, right now. This is all here right now. And they begin to say, who is he? We know this guy. My sister works with his sister down at the 7-Eleven. His dad fixed a plow stock for me. You know, He's the anointed one that's been read by the prophets and it's now. It's right now. They refuse to believe it. They refuse to believe He was the one and they refuse to believe it was now. And the same kind of thing is going on today. The devil is okay with you believing anything except that it's him and it's now. If he can get you to believe it's past, too late, or believe maybe someday off in the future, then that's the same thing as getting you to have received the grace in vain. It's here, it's available, but you get no good out of it because you don't believe it. And this bunch refused to believe it. Verse 23, he said to them, you'll surely say this to me, this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we've heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your own country. And I say, verily, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And as he finished saying some other things, they got so mad in verse 28 that they got ready to throw him off the brow of the hill. So did they experience great miracles that day? Did they see the blind eyes open? And did they see? They did not. If you read Matthew's account and Mark's account, said he could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands on a few. He couldn't. Didn't say he chose not to. He couldn't. And the Bible said he marveled because of their unbelief. They wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't believe it. And God's still been looking for a people that would believe. It's Him. He's the one. And it's now. It's now. I got five people nodding their heads with me. Huh? Can you tell how your flesh is? Can you tell how the enemy is? I mean, when you get ready to say, okay, let's believe God. Let's get it. Let's do it. Right here. Right now. Folk will go, now? You mean right here? Because see, as long as it's off in the unknown future somewhere, or as long as it's in the past, well, it requires us nothing of us. Huh? Requires nothing of us. But when it's here, and it's now, it's, what are you going to do? You in? You out? We doing this thing? Or not? Come on, church. We doing this thing. Come on, somebody say, I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I believe. I believe He is the one. And I believe He is the great I am right now. And I believe this is His accepted time. This is the day of salvation. We should be seeing manifestations of this every day. Every day that is now. Can you say, I believe it? Thank you, Lord. Can you hold with me a little bit longer here? Can you? You believing with me? Then it's not all up to me then. If I stop and pause, you don't just sit there and go, what are you waiting on? Wow me. Impress me. No, that's not how to do it. When you're hooked up with somebody and you're believing with them, even before they say it, you said, they're going to say something good. Watch. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And even if they get tongue-tied and mess it up, you go, oh, they'll get it straight. That's all right. Hold on. He'll find his scripture. Don't worry about it. He'll get it. Right? And when everybody's on the same page, it makes it easy. And things flow that wouldn't have otherwise. Somebody say, I believe it.
I believe it.
And thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You're there in Luke 4. Go over to John, please. Oh, thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. No, I'm moving too fast again. Now it's time when you say he's going to get it. Don't worry about it. He's... Go to Luke 19. I left Luke too fast. Luke 19. He cautioned and warned about receiving the grace of God in vain. And here, when Jesus came and He said, this day, today, it's fulfilled in your ears, they didn't accept it. And Hebrews tells us what they did. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just read it to you. Hebrews 3 says, as the Holy Ghost says, today, this is Hebrews 3:7, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 13, exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. What was their response? Instead of rejoicing and believing it, what'd they do? They hardened themselves and they rejected it. And that's something that God is not going to make any of us do or do differently. That's our choice. No matter how wonderful and how much of an opportunity or grace that He's given or made available, it'll always be up to us whether we receive it, believe it, and get glad about it, or whether we scoff at it and are skeptics or intellectuals or judge it. And what you're doing there, you're either opening your heart to it and receiving it, or you're closing off and hardening yourself against it and rejecting it. And God gives grace to the humble, right? But what about the proud? They don't get the grace. They get resisted. And it's hard when you're resisted and not helped. So, you'll see this is such a big deal that in this 19th chapter, 19 and verse 41, it says, when Jesus was come near, He beheld the city, and He wept over it. He looked over the city, and he cried. And He said, if you had known, verse 42, even you, at least in this your day, if you had known the things that belonged unto your peace, but now they're hid from your eyes. Now you don't see them. Come on, think about this. He's been preached for all these years. All these things have been said and done, and all the synagogues and all the people that claim they believe in Him and all the things that have been said about Him, and now He's here. He's in town. Right? And most of the people said, nah, that's not Him. It's not now. Beware of those two words. Not now. Not now. Not now. Many times this is the enemy tricking you, deceiving you. Isaiah said when he came, Isaiah was seeing, you know, hundreds of years, centuries into the future. And he saw Jesus. And he saw what happened to Him. And one of the things he said in Isaiah 53, he said, there's no form or comeliness that we should desire Him. What does that mean? That means in that day, you could have met Jesus walking down the street and not know you met Him. Now a lot of folks will say, no, I would know. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't have been born again. Come on, are you listening to me? The Holy Spirit wouldn't be living in you. And what Isaiah is saying, there was no halo. And there was no radiant beam out of His face. Now, we know there was an experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, but that was just for that experience. That wasn't how they lived. Come on, think about it. He had to look pretty normal to the guys that crucified Him. Right? Be hard to drive a spike through somebody with a halo. He looked like an itinerant preacher, self-proclaimed prophet, whatever. Why am I saying all this? People are, like Brother Hagin used to say, they're seeking after the spectacular and missing the supernatural. These people are preaching about the Messiah, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath. Oh, you know some of these guys. They raved. They went on and on about how wonderful it's going to be, how amazing it's going to be. And he stands up and says, here it is. I'm here. And what'd they say? What'd they say? No. Ain't no way Joseph and Mary's boy is the holy anointed one that was to come. No way a carpenter's son from this area is the Messiah. No way. And that it's actually happening right here, right now, I'm sure. It was probably dusty that day. You didn't have all the paved roads and carpets and stuff that you have now. And it might have been a little hot or a little cool. Or there might have been a fly buzzing around your ear. Is everybody with me? What am I saying? It was a very, what you would call, normal day. Somebody's back might have been aching them a little bit. Somebody might have had a headache. Somebody might have had the sniffles. Somebody might have burnt their eggs that morning and smelled a little funny. Who knows? But all the things that are part of this normal, natural life, it was so much that so that pretty much the whole crowd and everybody around looked at him and said, no way. No, you're not. And they didn't believe it. They didn't accept it. And it wasn't just a handful of people. At this point, Jesus is looking over the whole city. And he's weeping. This is one of the perfect pictures of he came unto his own. And what happened? His own refused to receive him. They wouldn't receive him. And notice what he said. He said, if you had known in verse 42, even this, if you had known, at least in this, your day. What day was it? It was the day of revelation. It was the day. If they had received him, then that would have been part of the much. It came on into the day of Pentecost and everything else in the church. Verse 44. Look at verse 44. He said of the judgment that was going to come. And look at the last verse. Because you knew not the time of your visitation. They didn't know what was available, what was in front of them right then. Let me read this to you from other translations. The NIV says, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. The complete Jewish says, you did not recognize your opportunity when God offered it. Didn't realize it. Didn't realize it. Friends, this is the danger of carnality. When you're not spiritual, what I mean by that is you don't, and don't let that, don't go off on a tangent with that. Romans 8 describes spirituality. To be carnally minded is being carnal. They that are carnal, fleshly, they mind the things of the flesh. They that are spiritual, they mind the things of the spirit. You're not in a trance half the time to be spiritual. It's just what you think about, what you focus is on, what your priorities are. If you don't think about the things of God, you never think about them, you never go to church, you never feed on the Word, never think about it, then it's likely you will miss your hour of opportunity. It's likely you will not recognize when God sends somebody into your life. And when something, a great opportunity is available to you, it's likely that a carnal person will just go, whatever, and blow it off and ignore it and only realize maybe much later, even after this life, what they missed. As Jesus is weeping on top of this hill, there's people all in the city. They're cleaning house. They're working. They're cooking. They're doing this and that. And they are oblivious Everybody say oblivious. That the King of Kings, the glorious Son of God, has come and is saying, it's here. It's now. Today is the day. Even Jesus' own immediate family judged him after the flesh, didn't they? And you remember there was a time when his brothers said to him, why don't you go on down to the feast? I mean, if you are who you say you are, I mean, you shouldn't hide. Don't you want people to know who you are? And he said, because his brothers didn't believe in him. Why? Because they grew up around him. And they didn't see halos. He got tired. He slept. He got up. Got dressed like they did. And they're looking for something else. Come on, did you hear that phrase? They're looking for something else. These people saw him and he read the scripture and he said, this is it. We're here, we're now. And they said, no, they're looking for something else. Did they ever find what they're looking for, the something else? No, it's imaginary. It's fantasy. This is something I found out about the gifts of the Spirit. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. Actually, not just a Pentecostal church. I spent equal amounts of time in Church of God, Baptist, and Pentecostal. And I thank God for all of them. I do. And the Pentecostal church was a wild one. I mean, they believed in talking in tongues. They believed in the gifts of the Spirit. And that's good and that's great, but faith wasn't really taught in the sense that we understand it today. It was the focus was on experience much more than the word. Experience. And we didn't know that you could receive the Holy Spirit by faith and speak in tongues by faith. I'd never heard that before. So what people did is tarry. And I became hungry to be filled with the Spirit in my late teens. And we'd come to revivals, and when they'd give the altar call, I'd go down to the front. The men would come down on one side, women would come down on the other. And the men in the church would come back behind you and pray for you. And the women would come back and pray for the women. Sincere, good people. And I'd tarry. Sometimes I'd start tarrying. 9 o'clock, I still be tarrying, 1 a.m. Because I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I see it's important, and I don't know how. And people would ask me about it, and I'd say, well, I'll tell you one thing. You see me filled with the Spirit, it won't be me. I don't want it to be me. I didn't realize it, but that was the thing that was keeping me from being filled. Because if you get filled, it'll be you getting filled. Won't be your brother. You say, well, I want it to be the Holy Ghost. You want the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit. No. No. It's wrong thinking. I'm telling you. I struggled with it. I know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm looking for? Somebody help me out. Have you been listening? I'm looking for something spectacular. I'm looking for something else. I'm looking, and the church has by and large spectacularized all the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. They are wonderful, but they are not as spectacular as some people think. A word of knowledge can come to you so naturally, it's like a thought that you had. Come on, are you listening? And there are different levels of them, different measures of them. But I'm convinced Christians right and left are missing manifestations of the Spirit. They're just not acknowledging them, and they're not yielding to them. That's what I was doing with receiving the Holy Spirit. And so Phyllis and I got married. This was actually in our late teens. We got married young. She was Catholic. She had not a clue what we were doing at these meetings. And she... The service was over and I'd come down to the front. I'd go again. And so she sat back there in the back and watched me seek. And the men would come back and they'd slap me on the back and go, "Hold on, brother. Hold on, brother." Someone say, "Turn loose, brother." And they're doing the best we knew how. And there were times when the presence of the Spirit of God would come. He'd come so strong. I remember one night, we're all hollering, "Oh, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost." And then the presence of God comes so strong on us, with this little altar bench. I'm draped over it. I can't even lift up my head. And I heard kaplump, and this guy beside me fell out under the power. I heard kaplump, kaplump, kaplump. All the guys fell out under the power, and I couldn't even raise my head. Power of God was so strong. And you know what I did? "Oh, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus." And didn't have enough sense to know the Holy Ghost is going, "Hey, it's me. I'm here." He was all over us. And I didn't have enough sense to yield to Him, to respond to Him. Because it's not going to be me. No, no, no. If you see me talking in tongues, it won't be me. Well, then we won't see you talking in tongues. I went like this off and on for years. Let me tell you a little side story that wasn't too funny to me at the time. But Phyllis, little Catholic girl sitting in the back, she cared about me, so she told me this later. I didn't know it, but she's praying. She said, "God, whatever He wants, would You please give it to Him so we can go home?" That's good Catholic prayer. And so another night, we didn't go home. And so she said, "God, is it me? Am I holding Him back somewhere? I didn't grow up like this. I don't even know what this is." And it began to come in her heart. Maybe I should go to the altar. Maybe there's something I need. So she did. And she hadn't got to the altar for 15 minutes. She fell out into the power. Come on, are you listening? And she said, "I need to be baptized in water." And our bunch... Now, this is one area where they were a now bunch. They said, "You want to be baptized? You get baptized now." I mean, right now. And it was December. And we didn't have a baptistry. So we all loaded up in our cars and we drove, 8-10 miles out to the pond. Yes, we did. And the pastors, these Pentecostal pastors, are telling Phyllis now, "When you go under the water, just believe you receive the Holy Ghost when you come back up. Just believe you receive." And she didn't know any better. She said, "Okay." And she said when they walked into the water, of course it's December. Now it's not as cold down there as it is up here, but it was still cold. And she said when she stepped into the water, she said she didn't even feel it. She said the Holy Ghost came on her. And He baptized her. She started talking in tongues under the water before she came back up. And I'm a witness. I was there. She was so much in the glory of God for 3 days and nights. She didn't eat. She didn't sleep. She didn't need to. She was so full of God. Talking in tongues. And I'm still tarrying. And I thought, God, something's wrong with this. My grandma was secretary and treasurer for the Pentecostal church for 40 years. My great-grandpa gave the land that the Pentecostal church is on. This is a Catholic girl. I mean, I was glad for her, but thank God I got a hold of Brother Kenneth Hagin's little book on, what is it, 7 steps how to receive the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. I read those in our little home one afternoon by myself. For years, I've been through all this other stuff. He said, just believe you receive. And then speak by faith. I mean, it's outlined real plain there. I read it. I finished it. A little bitty mini book. And I thought, nah. Nah. Anybody tell me, what am I looking for? I'm looking for something else. I'm looking for the spectacular. The real is all over me. The real is staring me in the face. And I'm looking for something else. But I know it was the Holy Spirit. Something came up in my heart. You've tried everything else. And I had. They said maybe if you shave off that mustache. I did. Maybe if you'll do this. I was clean shaven for a while. But maybe if you'll do, maybe I did anything. And of course, you know, I didn't receive, because that's not what it's about. That's not how you receive. So I did. I said, Father, I thank you that you said in your word that if we would ask you for the Holy Spirit, you would give him to us. And so I just believe that I receive right now. I'm your child, and I'm asking you, and I believe I receive your Holy Spirit. Give me utterance in a new tongue. And now I'm going to speak by faith. Prava nascali perpetuliedi, kesna vavancha. And I stopped and said, no. No. Because see, when Sister Odessa got filled, she saw a bright light. And it came and hit her in the head. And when Brother Otis got filled, he rolled up under the front pew and sang in tongues. Come on, what am I looking for? Anybody tell me, what am I looking for? I'm looking for the spectacular and about to miss. The real spiritual and supernatural thing of God. And then I came, thank God for that little book. I came back to it. He had just told us in the book, you won't understand what you're saying. It's not for you. The Bible says, you speak an unknown tongue. Your mind's unfruitful. But you're speaking mysteries unto him. I'm just going to do it by faith. And thank God I did, and I stayed with it until I began to yield more and flow more, and am still doing it today. Amen. Are you listening, saints? The reason I say that is because that is just one example of 10,000 things in our life. Whether it's a healing, or a deliverance, or a leading, or direction, or the plan. Again and again, the grace is here. How many believe God is faithful? Everything we need, He will have it to you. He will never be late. Come on, are you listening? When you need it now, tell me what you think will be happening. It will be there for you now. But if you're too carnal, and if you're, you know, slow to respond, and you're looking for something pie in the sky spectacular, you can miss it. Because it's not, you know, your skin is not buzzing, and you're not caught up in a trance. Huh? No. These things can come so normally. Come on, think about it. It's no surprise that you'd be familiar with what God's saying and doing to you. He's inside you 24/7. So when He gives you something, it shouldn't be a shock to your system. He's the same one you're communing with night and day, all the time. When He does things around us, it's the same thing. I've seen so often God join people to other people. God bring folks to other believers and to a church and to ministries. And it's too easy to judge folks after the flesh. It's something how that people will look up on the platform at somebody and marvel at the gift and at the anointing and not realize there's a similar gift in the person sitting beside them. But because they've known them, isn't that what they said about Jesus? We know Him. We know who He is. And He didn't look like to their idea of what the Messiah was going to look like. And the people that God brings into your life again and again are not going to look like Saint so-and-so. But they are. I said they are. And they got flesh just like yours, and they can make mistakes just like you. But it doesn't change the fact that God has answered your prayers. And that these gifts and callings are holy and they're wonderful. And a wise person will acknowledge them. Will not get hung up on the flesh vessel. And will acknowledge and value and count precious the things that God has given us through these vessels. Do you believe it, saints? So important. So important. Go to the book of John, please. Does this make any difference in what you experience in life? It makes so much difference. Did it make any difference with this group in the synagogue that day in what they received and didn't receive? As to if they received Him or not. If they didn't receive Him, then they didn't receive all the things that the anointing was on Him to do that day. Did they? Because they didn't receive Him. They didn't believe He was the one. They didn't believe this is it. Thank you, Lord. I know some 4 years or so ago, I was thanking the Lord for all the Word, the relationships in the Word that God has allowed me and Phyllis. We've been able to fellowship, in my opinion, with some of the most wonderful, greatest men and women of God in our generation. I know there are others, but with some. And heard such wonderful messages. Heard amazing, life-changing messages on being led by the Spirit and our righteousness in Him and the authority of the believer and being healed and all these kind of things. And I'm realizing I've heard tens of thousands of the best messages a man could hear. And to realize there are people in the world that have never heard one good faith message. Not even one. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't understand, you know, why me? And people like me, why have we been able to hear so much and some other folks not? And the verse came to me later, to him that has, shall more be given. And the Lord reminded me of the first time I ever heard a faith message. It went off in me. And the series, one of the first ones I heard, was on being redeemed from the curse of the law. I got so excited, I thought, glory to God. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law, the curse of poverty, the curse of sickness, the curse of destruction. I mean, it's mentioned in Deuteronomy 28. I got so excited. And of course, the first thing you want to do is share it with your friends that you care about. And so I brought them some of these tapes, and I said, you've got to hear this. You've got to hear this. This will change your life. And I was just beaming and grinning from ear to ear, because I think, whoo, they're going to love this. And I see them a couple of days later, and I said, what about it? What about it? And they said, oh, I hadn't got around to listening to those yet. I said, what? What? Listen to them. Listen to them. And so I saw them 2 or 3 days later, and I said, what about it? What about it? And they said, well, I listened to a part of one. part of one. Well, what do you think? I just don't know about all that. Don't know about it. And the Lord brought that to my remembrance. And I had asked him the question, why had we been allowed to hear and be a part of so much? He said to me, I knew you would value it. That's why I gave you so much. And later he said to me, and I knew you'd do something with it. I knew you'd value it. We're not supposed to make too much of flesh. But we are supposed to make a big deal out of the anointings of God and the gifts of God. We're to show great respect and reverence. And when the Lord gives us light, we're to ooh, we're to ah, we're to rejoice. Right? We're to make a big deal out of it. And these are the kind of folks that get more. Now the people that don't. The people that think they already got it all. And they're so smart and they're edumacated. And they critique everything. And overanalyze everything. They don't realize it, but they are disrespecting God. Come on, now think about this. Think about this. The Almighty tells you something, and you say, I'll think about it. Let me analyze this some more. See if this is... That's pitiful. To compare your little understanding to the Ancient of Days, you're going to critique him. Let him know if you think he's on or not. You agree with him. We need to show some humility. And humility can show excitement. I said humility can show excitement. Man, this ugly stinking pride, we need to get rid of it. We need to get rid of it. Let me help you out with a phrase. I never saw that before. Try it out loud. It's been a long time since some people said that. I never saw that before. That's wonderful. That's amazing. I never saw it before. Glory to God. That's the kind of people that will get more. Because you're acknowledging it. You're rejoicing it. Shows you believe it. Right? And you're showing that you value it. You're saying, this is amazing. This is wonderful. See, a lot of people, because of their pride, they won't do that. They'll hear it, and even if they think, wow, they won't say wow. They'll go, Yeah, I've thought about some of those things myself, and you bring out a very interesting point. And you are in your own way. Come on. Break loose. How many of the Bible said you gotta be converted and become like a little child? Right? Children have no problem expressing impression. Huh? I mean over some of the smallest things. It's a popsicle. It's a grape popsicle. Well, the things of God should be that way to us. When you hear something, whether it's reading your Bible on a Monday morning, whether it's in church, whether it's in a meeting like this, whether it's talking with your fellow believer, and the Lord gives you something that you hadn't seen before, it's time to go, glory to God! That's, look at that! I never saw it before. I never heard that before. That's wonderful! That's the kind of person that'll see three more things before the day's over. Because God sees you value it. And you're humbling yourself and receiving it. You're believing it and rejoicing in it. You qualify to get more. He'll just keep giving you more. Keep giving you more. Keep giving you more. You get all heady. Get all stuffy. Get all prideful. Well, now, you know, I have a degree. I'm not like some of these ignorant, superstitious people. You're to be pitied. Because you will be in the dark and you will live a dull, boring, dissatisfying life. And you'll either be looking back longing or you'll be hoping for something sometime. And there will be glorious things right in the middle of your day that you could be partaking of if you had the spiritual discernment to notice it and receive it and yield to it. How many believe that God is not giving us any empty days? Every day that God gives us in life is a gift. And He daily loads us with benefits. If you believe that when you open your eyes in the morning, you'd be just like a kid on Christmas. Because you've got a lot of presents to open before the day is over. Because you are your day is loaded. Come on, somebody help me out right now. Your day is loaded with things to see and things to hear and things to receive. Come on, glory to God. And things to give to others and minister to others and rejoice. But millions, even of church people, Christian, millions of people don't live like that. They, all right, another day. I'll get up and go to work. Same old, same old. But one of these days, you know, we're going to have some things happening. Boy, you know, back in the day, when, you know, when Paul and those guys, let me tell you about back in the day of Paul. Don't romanticize it. You don't want to live back in the day of Paul. It was great. He had some great things. But you remember some of his company left him? After traveling with him, after being in his meetings, he said on one occasion, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. What does that mean? Demas saw Paul go into town with his company. He saw revivals. He saw demoniacs set free and get their minds back. He saw people healed. Things like the dead being raised. He heard, how many believe he heard some of the most amazing preaching and teaching? Huh? The New Testament? Paul was who God used for much of it? He's sitting hearing him live just like you and I are here tonight. He's hearing Paul live. He's seeing these things happen. He's seeing rulers of kingdoms affected and things happening and churches where there have never been any churches ever coming up. And yet one day he decides, I'm going to Vegas. And he left. Why? He did not know what opportunity he had. He did not know. He did not realize how favored he was to be with who he was with and doing what he was doing. He came to despise it and threw it all away. How about another one? Somebody said, well, maybe Paul was doing some things he shouldn't have been. No, I don't believe that. How about Jesus? Do you believe people could be around Jesus and get disillusioned because he wasn't a good man and decide to leave the ministry? No. And yet Judas, after having heard all these things and seen all these things, decides, I want money. You can be around the greatest God has and treat it like it's nothing. Not even acknowledge that it's important. Friends, don't be deceived into always looking for something else. Realize God is good and He, the great I Am, is now. And every day of our life is a day He is filling with Himself. And it's not that He's not doing anything or that people are waiting on Him. It's that most of the world don't respect Him enough or believe Him enough to even see Him or respond to Him. But there is a group of people. I said there is a group of people that's learning how and growing and is discerning Him and seeing Him and recognizing Him more and more and more. Glory to God. I want us all to pray this right now. Say it out loud. Father God, I believe You're real. I believe You're now. I believe You're good. So good. Every day. And that You do load me with exceeding good things in my life every day. Open my eyes to see it. And to discern it, to recognize it, to look past the flesh and past the natural and see You and see the glorious things that You've put in my life. I ask for it. I believe I receive it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands. Let's begin to thank Him. Lift your hands. Woo! Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Glory to God. 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 Not judging after the flesh. Seeing the truth. Seeing the realities of God. Discerning the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. Discerning the moving of the Lord. Oh, somebody say glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. The Lord said through Brother Hagin Sr. numerous times the last several years of his ministry. I've been reminded of it in recent times. He said in the last times there will be a great increase in the spirit of seeing and knowing. In the spirit of seeing and knowing. And of course, that has to do with the prophetic ministry, but it's not limited to that. Every believer should have discernment. Now, don't make that into something it's not. Discern basically means to see and to recognize. And you don't have to fall into a trance or have an open vision. How many ever got revelation? The lowest type of vision is very similar to the highest type of vision. Very similar. What do I mean? You see it. You know it. It's not open vision. How many ever heard teaching or preaching or you're in the Word and you said, I see it. I see it. I see it. That's discernment. You saw something. Every child of God is supposed to have this. And while other people may just see natural, mundane goings on, the child of God, whose eyes are open, will realize, wait a minute, wait a minute. That's the Holy Spirit. God's doing something here. And while many may miss it, they'll see it. How can you tell they're seeing it and believing it? Ah, yeah, they're the ones that won't shut up. They're always, oh, glory to God. Did you see that? Did you see that? The Lord said this to me years ago. He said, most of the world is either dead or asleep. Spiritually. Dead means they've not been born again. They're spiritually dead. But asleep means they've been born again. But their eyes are closed. That's what the Scripture said. Awake, thou that sleeps. And Christ will give you light. Well, somebody who's in a deep sleep with their eyes closed, laying beside somebody who's dead, they look a whole lot alike. Pretty much the same activity level. Is that right? But there's a group of people. That same group I was talking about a while ago. I should be getting a little bit more response right here. There's a group of people. Do we know any of these people? There's a group of people that are alive and awake. 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 That means you see things other people don't. You notice things other folks don't. And you're not trying to be weird about it. You just know it. You just see it. And it's good. And you get excited about it. Glory to God. Go to John, please. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm alive. And I'm awake. My eyes are open. I see what He's doing. My ears are open. I hear what He's saying. My heart is open. My mind is open. I discern. I perceive what He's doing. And it makes me glad. Makes me glad. Makes me glad. What about the folks that's always grumpy? Always grumpy. Always depressed. Always sarcastic. What's going on with them? They're blind. And deaf. And dumb. They're oblivious. They are. Just like that city that Jesus is crying over. He said, you didn't know. This is your day. This is your time. This is your visitation. This is your hour. There should be shouting in the streets. Right? This should be the biggest celebration that's ever occurred in the city. There should be honor for Jesus. Shouldn't there? There should be glory and praise. Everybody should be there. Every city official. Right? From the greatest to the least, everybody ought to be up there in full force going, glory to God! Hosanna! There was a small group that did. And what did the religious leaders say? Y'all better shut up. Shut up! Why? It's not now. It's not now. Some of them still waiting. But it is now. I said it is now. In John, the 11th chapter. You believing with me? Let's finish this up the right way. John 11. Glory to God. Talks about Lazarus. And when he got sick. And they sent word to Jesus to come. And he didn't come. And then the Bible said that he did come. Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. And verse 19, John 11, 19, many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, you're too late. Basically, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Where is she looking? She's looking in the past. There's no rejoicing. Her brother's dead. And you can tell she doesn't feel good toward Jesus. Does she? She's like, why didn't you come? What's the enemy telling her? It's too late. Too late. Too late. Too late. Not now. too late. When I think about these things, I'm reminded when I was in school, grade school, and Mrs. Greer taught us in literature. And some of the required reading was by Edgar Allan Poe. Why, I still don't know. See, people think, well, because it's written in great prose that it justifies the subject. It does not. I don't care how beautifully you describe it, if you're talking about the devil, you need to throw it out. Oh, this is going over big, isn't it? Mr. Poe had demons at his house. And one of the most well-known ones is the raven. And what did the raven say? Thus quoth the raven. What did he say? You know what you'll never hear him say? Right now. Because the devil's never going to tell you that. What does he say? Nevermore. 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 Devils always say that. Always. Have you ever heard it? You can be healed 5,000 times. And symptoms come on you again. What will the devil tell you? Not this time. You ain't going to get it this time. Damn. Nevermore. It's too late. Or nevermore. Anything except we can get it right now. Nevermore. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has the enemy ever brought thoughts to your mind? Yeah. Not now. Yeah. You're not going to get it this time. Yeah, God helped you to pay your bills 1,000 times before, but you're not going to get this bill. You're not going to be able to pay this. You're going to lose everything. You ain't going to get it this time. Not this time. And nevermore. Oh, but there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. Always means always, and we always live in now, so always is now. She said, Lord, you missed the opportunity. We sent for you. Why didn't you come? Now he's dead. Now it's too late. And if you skip down a little bit, the Bible said later when Mary came, verse 32, you know what she said? When Mary was come where Jesus was and she saw him, she fell down at his feet. She said what? Verse 32, what'd she say? Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You waited too long. Now he's dead. You can tell there's something in their hearts. They feel bad about this. Their emotions are raw. Their brother's dead. They love their brother. Why didn't Jesus come? Friends, why am I saying this? Why am I reading this, talking about this? This is happening daily with believers all over the place. Things are happening and the enemy comes and says, well, that's it. That's over. It's too late. Too late. Too late. Back up a little bit in the chapter. Was it too late? Have you read the chapter? Have you read the chapter? Was it too late? No. It wasn't too late. It wasn't too late. Jesus, verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. But, here's a breakthrough. I know That what? That what? I know that even now, she's doing good. Huh? Through her grief, through her tears, she knows he's dead. She was there. She knows he's dead. And yet she's been around Jesus' ministry enough. She's been in these meetings. She's heard this teaching and preaching. Her faith has been fed to the point where she throws this in. Even now. Somebody needs to say even now. Even now. Somebody say even now.
Even now.
Whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Even now. How many know there are so many situations that it looks like it's too late, but it's really not. It feels like it's too late. It looks like it's all over. And the devil, if you listen to him, he will tell you, well, just, you know, that's over. It's over. Forget about it. Quit. It's too late. You missed your opportunity. I want you to know, if you're breathing on this planet, and God's still on the throne, and His Word is still true, it's not too late. You can have some amazing things happen now. The first car, first automobile that Phyllis and I ever believed for, I learned this lesson. We're married for about a year and a half. And we needed everything. We had little junky cars and junky stuff. And we got a hold of the word of faith. And heard that all things are possible to him that believes. And we heard people testifying that God would give you natural things, material things. I was shocked. And then I was thrilled. I thought, really? Really? God would help me get a car? A car? A house? Clothes? Things? Man, we needed it desperately. And so, man, we got all excited. And we learned, you know, pray the prayer of agreement. You believe, you receive. And so we did. And we thought, well, what kind of car are we going to believe for? We thought, well, you know, God's a big God. He'd give us a good car. He's a good God. And more we talked about it, we thought, well, man, you know, God's a big God. He'd give us a new car. And we thought, God's a really big God. He'd give us a nice new car. And we went around, and this was in the 70s. And we wound up at the Buick place. And we saw the brand new Buick Riviera. And that's back when a Buick was as big as could be, you know. And so we thought, that's it, that's it, that's it. That's what we're going to believe for. Of course, it cost thousands of dollars and we had nothing. But we thought, we believe this. Believe you receive it. And so we joined faith together. We said, Lord, we agree together. It's touching this. We believe we receive brand new Buick. And we had heard somebody else say this, so we thought we'd throw it in. We believe we receive it in 30 days. What are you laughing about? Well, you know, I mean, why wait? And we were so excited. And the days went by. Week went by. And well, once in a while we'd say, "Whoa, glory to God, you know, it's soon. We only got 2 weeks left." And that week came. We got 1 week left. We're excited. We're thrilled. And it came to the last week and the last day. And so all that day, I remember, I was excited. When the phone rang at work, I thought, that might be it. Went to check the mail. I thought, that might be it. But it wasn't it. I called Phyllis. She's working at another place. And I said, well, how about it? She said, not yet. Then we went home. And it was 9 o'clock in the night, evening, and then 10 o'clock. And then 11 o'clock. Well, it's still, you know, same day. And 11:59. And 12:01. 12:30. 1 o'clock. Got to go to work in the morning. And our feathers fell. You know what I mean by that? We thought, didn't work. But thank God, the Lord helped us to have enough sense to not blame Him and say He didn't work or His Word didn't work. We just figured, hey, we're green. We missed it somewhere, I guess. Sure would have been nice to have that new Buick. And so we went on with life. And over the course of the next couple of years, the Lord did help us with a number of things. And we got out of debt on some things. And He led us to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. And I'm there for about 6 months now, hearing Brother Hagin teach on faith and others. And one day in prayer school, after hearing about faith that morning, I said to the Lord, I was reminded of that car situation. And I said, Lord, you know, everything I'm hearing about faith, it still seems to me that we were in faith. I don't see where we missed it. You need to help me because I guess I don't know what faith is. And this is something I need to know. It still seems to me like we're in faith from what they're saying, that faith is. I'm in prayer school. I'm in the floor praying. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but inside me very distinctly. He said to me, you were in faith. In fact, you're doing quite well for where you were. Well, then I got a question. How about you? Where's the Buick? Like if we're in faith, he said, I don't mean I'm hearing a voice, but inside me, real distinctly, said, you were in faith. You're doing quite well. Until 12:01. And you let a little mechanism with hands click a few times and decided my word wasn't true anymore. Oh, I saw it. I thought, I wouldn't do it physically, but mentally I was kicking myself. Dummy, dummy, dummy. He never told me to set a 30-day time thing. You believe God. You believe God until. Through faith and patience, perseverance. So I'm kicking myself. I'm thinking, dummy, dummy, dummy. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I do believe your word. Sorry we did that. And I'm laying there, and these words came to me so strong. It's not too late. I thought, what? 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 It's not too late. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yes.
See, this had been years ago. It seemed like lost. It seemed like too late. He said, it's not too late. It's not too late. I thought, Lord, what does that mean? What does that mean? It's not too late. It came up to my mind from my heart. Son, you remember how you and Phyllis were so excited those 30 days and you had such expectation. I said, oh, yeah, never forget it. He said, well, get back to that and this time don't quit until you see it. I got it. I got all excited. When I got home that afternoon, that evening, and I told Phyllis, she got excited. We thought, glory to God, we're not going to quit this time. So we renewed our faith. We said, we're believing we'll receive. And we're excited. We're expecting. And a year passed. And another year. And another year. And another year. Are y'all listening? See, this is what separates the men from the boys. And the girls from the women. And another year passed. And of course, after, you know, 5 years or so, well, you're not thinking of it every day, but when we would think of it, we'd stir ourselves up and thank the Lord for our new car. One day I came in, Phyllis came in. She said, guess what? I said, what? She said, so-and-so, she called a businessman's name that we knew. She said, he said the Lord dealt with him to buy us a new car. I said, is that right? I said, what kind? He said, any kind we want. Any kind. He said, get a nice one. I said, get your purse. Because I knew this guy. I knew he had the ability and I knew he was serious about it. And so, by this time, of course, you understand it's been, what, all total 8 years maybe or something like that? We had kind of quit emphasizing Buick so much. We were just believing for a new car and thought, you know, it's after setting that 30-day thing, we decided to quit setting stuff that the Lord didn't tell us. Let's open this up a little bit and believe God. And so we went to this dealership. We went to that dealership. We went to the other dealership. It was wintertime. Snow on the ground. In Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so we wound up... What place do you think we might have wound up at? It was the Buick dealership. And sitting inside on the showroom floor was the best looking Buick Riviera you ever saw, man. With wire wheels and a special top. And it was their show car. And it had a great big sign on it that said, sold. And Phyllis saw it, her eyes lit up. She said, I like that. I said, me too. And they said, it's sold. We said, well, if it turns out it's not, call us. Next day they called us. And we drove that thing out of the showroom floor, tires crunching into the snow. Hallelujah. Paid for. Insurance tag paid for. Somebody say glory to God. Because He convinced us it wasn't too late. Now, I believe the Lord had me tell that for this reason. There's a whole lot of folks in here. You've got dreams. You've got things that God has put in your heart. Some things go back years. Some things go back decades. And because they didn't happen all at once, the enemy convinced you it's over. It's too late. That's never going to happen. The Spirit of God is saying tonight, it's not too late. Go back. Pick it up. Stir yourself up. Get excited about it again and believe you can receive now. Somebody said, what if it didn't happen now? Well, tomorrow, when will it be?
Now.
It'll still be now.
That's right?
Right? It'll still be now. You can't live in any other time. You just keep believing you receive, and one of these moments, the now is going to be the time that you see it. She said, Lord, I know that even now, in the face of death, in the face of grief, even now, whatever you ask of God, He'll give it to you. Now I want you to see what she had to deal with and overcome. Same things that everybody has to deal with and overcome. What was her first big temptation? To believe it was too late. Right? Notice what Jesus said to her. Your brother will rise again. What's her response? What's her response? I know what? Someday. Someday. The last day. The resurrection. I know she's not talking about now. Is she? What was her temptation? To either believe it was too late, I believe it's off in the future. Isn't that the temptation?
Yes.
Everybody awake.
Yes.
I'm going to take you some extra time, but this is important, saints. You with me?
Yes.
Could it be? Come on, let's practice some of what we've been hearing tonight. Could it be? There's something going on here bigger than me in the flesh and you in the flesh. Could it be that God is here with us tonight?
Yes.
Do we have the spiritual discernment to acknowledge that we've got Holy Spirit manifestation? We've got the living Word of God being manifested. Light coming into our eyes and our hearts and our minds. We have amazing things available to us. Now. Now. Tonight. And in this period and time of our lives. In this season of our lives. I want you to hear a phrase. The time of my life. You ever heard that phrase? I'm having the time of my life. Here's the next question. Reckon when the time of your life will be. Reckon when? Well, what determines the time of your life. Beware, saints, beware. You, me, all of us. Watch about deferring the time of your life to some other time when we get this, after we get that, when we get finished with this, when the kids get out of school, when we retire, when we get the house paid off. Listen, it's a trick, because when you get that done, there'll be something else. There'll be something else. And if you listen to it and you buy into it, while you're waiting for the time of your life, the time of your life is happening. It's passing by. These precious days are clicking by like telephone poles on the highway. This is the time of my life. And if you live it right, you can be having the time of your life and not be living in a dream world, but be living in the dream. The plan that God had for you. It's not intelligent to always be despising and skeptical of everything around you. It's ignorant and foolish. Everything you see, but so-and-so's better, and this is going to be better later on. And that is being a fool. You don't even know if you'll be here then. Come on, are you listening, saints? You know what you do have? You're alive. Oh, I need to preach at you some now. I'm trying to move too quick, though. Let me look at this again. Say it out loud. I'm having the time of my life. I am in the time of my life. Come on, don't you understand? Most people have to lose things or be past things to see what they had. I heard a guy years ago. His wife had went home to be with the Lord. Good woman. And he was crying, talking about what a pretty woman she was and talking about what a wonderful woman she was. I never heard him say any of that. While they were alive, I was around them a lot. I never heard any of that. It's only now he realizes what a treasure she was. That's a fool. Is everybody listening to me? And people are talking about, and they look back and they romanticize and are sentimental about, oh man, when we had the kids and we were doing this and we were doing that and the other. Yeah, but when it was happening, when it was now, when did you look up and go, this is it, man. We're in it. We're having the time of our lives. This is it. People don't. They think wrong. And this is always just today. And they're so carnal that they're just mostly aware of the natural mundane stuff and are not discerning the spiritual treasures that God has loaded their day in life with. That can change tonight for every one of us. We can quit putting things off into the future. We can quit waiting until this and that happens, that we're going to be excited, we're going to be thankful. We can become a brighter witness in light than we've ever been to our family and to our community when they see how high we are every day without drugs. Amen. When they see how satisfied we are and how we're enjoying. Didn't the Bible say God gives us richly all things to enjoy? Well, are we enjoying them? Well, are we waiting on Him to give them to us? That was weak. The answer is no. It's deception to think we're always waiting on God. Always. That's like the man or woman waiting for God to save them. It's not true. It's here. What did Jesus say? This day, this scripture is being fulfilled. It's coming to pass. Right here. Right now. And they were too darkened to believe it and to receive it. Somebody say, not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Keep reading here. Jesus said, your brother will rise. Verse 24, Martha said, I know he'll rise in the resurrection, in the last day. I want you to take a good look at verse 25. Take a really good look at verse 25. Jesus said, I used to be. Huh? Jesus said, I'm going to be. What did he say? What did he say? This is what you and I need to keep front and center. Every moment of every day and night, He is. Right now, the resurrection, the life, the light, the truth, He is. I didn't miss it yesterday. I'm not waiting on it for tomorrow. It's here. We're having the time of our lives. I said, we're having the time of our lives. That's true many different ways. This is the time you're having of your life. It's passing by. You can be enjoying it. You can be miserable. You can be dreading it. But once it's passed, it's passed. And it's only fools who look back and go, oh, it was so good. And I was miserable. Waiting on something else. Looking for something else. The enemy is always trying to paint a picture of something else that you want, not where you are, not this. This is yuck. This is. I'm reminded of Fievel, the American Tale. Is that what it was? The Disney show. Some of you woke up right there. Is he talking about Fievel now? We're having the time of our lives. Come on, get in. There's a lot going on here. Don't miss it. They sang and said, there are no cats in America. And the streets are paved with cheese. You remember that? That's just like the devil. He's always telling you what you got now and the people you're with and the stuff you're around. It's junk. It's nothing. It's nothing. What you need is here. And there's no cats there. And the streets are made with cheese. It's not real what he's talking about. And you can ignore and fail to enjoy something real, and that's God right here, right now, longing for something else that's a fantasy. It's not even real. She said, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. It's too late looking back. He said, your brother's going to rise again. She said, yeah, in the resurrection, in the future. At the last day, what does he want her to do right now? What does he want them, need them to do right now? He needs them to quit looking back and quit looking out in the unknown future. And do what? Focus right here, right now, because I'm here and the anointing is here. I am the resurrection. Well, is he in you? Come on, is he in you? Is he in you?
Yes.
Right now?
Yes.
Then the healer is in you.
Yes.
The deliverer is in you.
Yes.
The wisdom of God is in you right now.
Yes.
Why do you need to look somewhere else to look off into the distant past or future? He is in me now.
Yes.
Somebody put your hands on yourself. Say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The healer is in me. The miracle worker is in me. The Spirit of God is in me. Now! Now!
Now!
That means healing can flow into you now. Wisdom of God and direction can come to you now. Now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. Now. Now. Just like somebody could be born again right now, somebody can be healed right now, delivered right now, set free right now. He said, I am. I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Ooh, thank you, Lord. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Glory to God. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said, yes, Lord. She's got her with him. She's not crying about the past, and she's talking about someday, some sweet by and by. She said, yes. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And a few minutes later, he steps up to that tomb and said, Lazarus, come out of here sometime maybe. No. Come, and he came. Hallelujah. When is the best time to get saved? Now. A lot of times things don't happen until later because people didn't believe until later. But it became there now at that time. I want to remind you of a few things. In closing, I think. You got somewhere else more important to be right now? Huh? No. I'm going to read you some things. Every one of these are verses. Verses. Some of them two or three verses for the same phrase. Christ is risen from the dead now. That's a verse. Somebody say now.
Now.
Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Now.
Scripture says now. Somebody say now.
Now.
Do you believe it? Then do you need to wait to get happy about that? It's in there right now. How many believe there is a Lamb's Book of Life? And whoever's not written in that Lamb's Book of Life, it won't be saved, won't be with God. But my name's in that book. Somebody needs to say my name. My name.
My
name's in it. When's it in the book? It's in there right now. That's enough to make you shout. The disciples were casting out spirits, and they came back and told Jesus, and they said, whoo, the devils are subject to us in your name. Man, it's wonderful. He said, let me tell you what you ought to be happy about. That your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, because that means you are a citizen of heaven. You have a permanent part in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You are a son of God, the redeemed. Forever. That's not something we're waiting to find out about. My name is in that book tonight. Right now. It's in the book. It's there. Can you take some more? Bible says, now are we the sons of God. There's therefore now no condemnation. Are we waiting to get free of that? We got it now. I said we got it now. If we believe it, how could we tell we're believing it? We'd rejoice. We're justified and reconciled to Him now. We're not going to get to the pearly gates and meet Peter, and there's this great big scale, and they're going to weigh our good works and versus our bad and see if we get in or not. That's a bunch of junk. That's not true. That's not right. We've been justified now. We're made righteous now. We've been delivered out of all the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son now. Now. We have it now. We're light in the world now. We've been made free from sin now. We're the body of Christ, set each member by Him now. We're the people of God, the church of Jesus Christ now. But you remember, and Johnny also said, don't say there's 4 more months and then the harvest. He said the harvest is huge, ready to be reaped now.
Amen.
Somebody say now.
Now.
How about this one? Jesus said, anything you give up for the kingdom of God and the gospel's sake, you will receive now in this time 100-fold. Houses, lands, people, relations, etc., etc. Somebody say now.
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 Have you sown anything to the kingdom? Have you sacrificed anything for the kingdom and for the gospel? The Lord said, you're going to reap that now. 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 Somebody's getting stirred up. Now. Now. Now.
Now.
The man that was healed and his eyes were open, they said, you know, you don't know the law. You don't know what you're talking about. He said, maybe not. But I know this. I was blind. Yes, now. Now I see. God is now. Salvation is now. Faith is now. Hallelujah. Now. 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 Stand on your feet, saints. Let's receive something. Singers and band, could y'all come real quickly and help us out? Oh, lift your hands. Begin to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. 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 Close your eyes. We need to act on some things. While I was speaking, while the Spirit of God was ministering, just keep your eyes closed. Please, no looking around. There are a number of people. There were some things in you that the Lord brought back to your remembrance. Things that you got excited about, times past, years past, but it didn't happen right away, or it didn't happen the way that you thought it might, and you just decided, well, that's never going to happen. It's too late. And the Spirit of God, just these last few minutes, has brought that to your remembrance and stirred you up about it, and He told you it's not too late. You need to respond to that. I said you need to respond to that. You need to say, Lord, I believe it. I believe You. I believe it's not too late. I believe You're a good God. I believe You're a now God. And I take my faith back up on that thing. I take it up again. And I come back to believing You and expecting You. And this time I won't quit. Hallelujah. You're more than enough to do it. You are exceeding abundantly, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I've asked or thought. You can do it. It's easy for you to do it. And I'm believing I'll receive it. And I'll stay with it this time. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Guys, can we do the song we did Monday night, I guess it was? Lord God, just take off on it. Help us out with it. Let's just sing both parts twice. Both parts twice.
Yeah.
Everybody close your eyes. We can receive some things right now if we just believe right now. I want you to pray a prayer of faith for miracles and healings and release your faith. What that means is, as soon as we get through praying, you are expecting it to happen, some things to happen right here, right now. And don't just pray for yourself, pray for your brother in front of you, your sister behind you, people at the back of the room, the middle of the room, folks you don't know. Whatever they need, let's believe God right now. Say it out loud. Father God, I reverence you. You are the great God, creator of heavens and earth. Nothing is too difficult for you. And we pray according to your written word, asking you to stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders would be wrought and done in the name of the Holy One Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatever my brother needs, whatever my sister needs, in their spirit, in their mind, in their soul, in their body, in their marriage, in their finance, in their life, I'm asking you to do miracles in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands. Begin to expect right now. Oh, hallelujah. Morning and night, throughout these services, God's been doing a work on you. And it's time for you to put your foot down and send depression on the run. Never to give it a place in your house or your life again. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus. Every bit of heaviness, sorrow, depression, grief, I resist you in Jesus' name. Leave me, leave this place, leave my life, leave my home. Go in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, on believing God right now. Believe God. Believe God for good things, great things, healings, miracles. The Lord is delivering people from addictions right now. Everybody said out loud, addictions, strongholds of every kind. Jesus' name, be gone. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 That gnawing, craving is leaving some people right now. It's leaving. It's leaving. There's some long-term addictions that are being broken right now tonight. Right now tonight. The devil has told you it's too late for you. You'll never be free. He's a liar. Now, even now, it's happening. These truths are coming to pass in your presence right now. Somebody say, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I receive my complete freedom from every addiction, every obsession. I am free. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am free. I am free. Everybody say it together again. I am free. Hallelujah. Some great healings are here now. Some folks need to put a hand on your back and on your stomach, both if you can. God is healing people from cancers, from growths, from blockages, infections, inflammations, blockages, all these things in the stomach, in the intestines, the colon. These include problems in the organs, in the glands, all through this area. Everybody said out loud, in the name of Jesus, every cancer, every tumor, every growth, we curse you, command you, die, dry up, go away in Jesus' name. Oh. Ah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Said out loud, inflammation, infection, any blockages, we command you, be healed. Go away. Be opened up. Be normal. Function normally. Be clean and whole and healthy and strong in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody needs to say, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it into myself right now. I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lay your hands on your head. Hallelujah. God's healing right now lesions and problems in the brain. Some folks know they're there. Some other folks, you don't even know they're there. Just to be better, you're healed before you even know you got a problem. Said out loud, in the name of Jesus, we speak to everything in the brain, every plant my Heavenly Father did not plant, and then we curse it and command it to cease, to go away, to dry up, to stop living, stop being, stop growing, go away in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's some swelling. There's some swelling, some inflammation, some pressure. This is part of the reason for pressure behind the eyes and headaches, migraines. There's some things that's not right. Say it in the name of Jesus. Swelling, go down. Pressure, be relieved. Be released. I speak to you. Peace. Peace. Peace to you. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just some folks need to keep your hand up there a little bit longer. The swelling's going down right now. The pressure's going, is being relieved. That's actually coming off of the backside of your eyes right now. Ha! 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 Hallelujah! This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad. Sing that part again. This is the day that the Lord has made. Confusion. Leave me. Hallelujah. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Leave me in Jesus' name. And the key is, don't yield to it in time to come. And something else, the Lord's healing joints. He's healing joints. Whatever it is something that you need to receive, put your hand on it. If it's your knee or your elbow or your shoulder, if you need to, raise up your foot, sit down, put your foot on it. I mean, your hand on your ankle or whatever it is. This includes things in your back, your hips. The Lord's healing joints right now. In the name of Jesus. Joints, bones, ligaments, be healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, let your anointing, let your holy healing power flow into these shoulders and necks, these wrists and these elbows, these knees, these ankles, these toes, these fingers. Oh yeah, oh yeah. It feels like heat. It feels like heat going into your knuckles, going into your toes. It feels like heat right now. Somebody say, I receive it. I receive it. I believe I receive it. Total healing for all my joints. I receive it. I receive it. Arthritis, get out of here.
This week.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.